This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever your insurance need may be, they will go out and make sure, A, you're fully insured, and B, do everything they can to figure out ways to save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time to welcome in one of the best in the business, and that's Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, Big Ten Network. Mike, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Doing well, and going back to Pittsburgh, I understand.
I will be moving back to Pittsburgh pretty much as soon as the Final Four is over.
That's great. Well, welcome home. All right. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Okay. So I want to start with Zach Edey, because you and I have both seen a lot of him either on video or a lot of him in person. We know what the numbers say, 9.7 fouls drawn per game versus 1.9 fouls that he draws per game. You and I have watched a lot of him. The question now is about how difficult he is to officiate. How do you view him?
You know, Steve, he's no more difficult to officiate than anyone else if you call the game the way the rules are written. It's really
right.
That simple. It's difficult to officiate everybody because the game is fast and powerful and quick and all of that. But you have to look at it that he should be no more difficult than anyone else. And I will tell you that after the game yesterday, I get a chance to speak to Tobe Awaka from Tennessee, who fouled out in 13 minutes. And he acknowledged that all the video prep they did to try to prepare to understand how to defend Edey. He said once you're out there and you're with him on the floor and you feel that power and size, it doesn't matter how much prep you do. It's just a totally different thing than anything you've ever experienced. And Danny Sprinkle, the then Utah State coach in the second round, and now the coach at Washington as they move into the Big Ten next year, said that it's very difficult to defend him without fouling. It drives opposing fans crazy because they see it and they see that their guy is getting called for a lot of fouls. But the alternative is to back off and let him play. And if you do that, then he's probably going to score a lot of points. If you don't do that, then you risk putting your players, your big guys, off the floor. So somebody's going to have to make a decision at some point to either zone them or to just go ahead and back away and not try to challenge him physically and see how successful he's able to be in that circumstance.
Yeah, because what people understand, you can put an arm into his back, but you can't put two. And every time I see many times I see fouls calls because, look, they're trying to do whatever they can to hold their position. They're using both arms to do it. That's one of the reasons why they're getting called for fouls.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, look, if you look back at the Ohio State game that the Buckeyes won in Columbus, they didn't try to hold their space as much as they tried to attack the basketball.
Yes.
Both with help defenders and also with their big guys. Their big guys, Zed Key in particular, was really effective at attacking the basketball. And so they did have some success in not allowing him to catch the ball, but it was more to them about when he brought the basketball into position, trying to attack it and doing that without fouling.
Because, look, we always talk about big men, when they'll get the ball, they'll balance themselves, when they should just catch and shoot. I'm talking about the catch and shoot plays, and they'll make themselves smaller. He has developed a bad habit. He brings that ball down around his waist, and that's where, like, people are seeing more deflections off of that, because that's one thing you do notice. He has developed that little habit that's allowing people to attack the ball like you're talking about.
He does. Because they are such a proficient three-point shooting team statistically, he does get some space. The teams, and Zach's an excellent passer out of the post, so
yeah.
He does get some space, but he will at times, once he initiates that move, he does allow defenders to come at him, and he needs to maybe on occasion fake that, and then get the defender moving and then kick it out behind them for an open three, and then maybe the defender will come more slowly. But right now, he's not doing that.
Go ahead. Braden Smith is the engine that runs this entire deal. The maturity of him as a point guard now as a sophomore about to become a junior, where's the development you've seen in him?
Well, first of all, he's one of the most serious young people that we've encountered about his conditioning. He takes it to an absurd level, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, but he does, because he knows he has to. And because he does that, he can play a lot of minutes. Because he does that, he's able to rebound defensively for a guy his size at a level that I've seen from very few players. His defensive rebounding is incredible. He's just not the same player that he was a year ago, and that's largely because even though he was very serious about his body as a high school player, he's getting more mature. He's had college training, which, as good as the people were around him in Westfield, and they were great, every day being in college with the nutrition and all of that has been an aid to him. And having been through last year's disappointment, I think really fueled that team. I asked Mason Gillis about this yesterday. I mean, I've watched them play a ton. You've watched them play a ton. The old Spinal Tap amp goes to 11. I mean, they play hard, but yesterday it went to 11. They did not ever relent yesterday. When there was a loose ball on the floor, they attacked it with a ferocity that even as hard playing as Purdue teams typically are, I've never seen before.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And again, and I'll tell you a guy that to me typified it yesterday, because sometimes I wonder, is Fletcher Lawyer. That's as hard as I've seen him play was yesterday.
I was delighted to see that, because I've known his dad for more than 30 years. His father was an assistant at Cincinnati, then went to work in the NBA, and obviously worked really hard in helping his sons, Foster and Fletcher, become really good college basketball players. And Fletcher had a really tough February last year. And when they played that Fairleigh Dickinson game, he was the one guy that was ready to make shots, but nobody wanted to embrace it because he had been so poor at the end of his freshman year. So then he went through another tough early February, and they played Michigan, and he shot himself out of it. Even though he didn't make shots that day, he became aggressive again, and that's continued on all the way through yesterday. So I got a chance to see his dad and tell him how great Fletch played. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he really was. That's one of the better games I've seen him play. They've got NC State now, and we know there'll be a lot of talk about DJ Burns. I understand that. We'll get to that in a moment. I find the Diarra situation fascinating, because Penn State had a wide receiver years and years ago named Gerald Smith. It was spring practice, so I know in Ramadan what he could and he couldn't do. Well, Diarra, we're in an era where hydrate, 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 except he's not doing that right now. And how interested are you in that and how he navigates that, especially in a game where bigs are going to be so important?
Yeah, it's really fascinating that there were several players in March Madness to this point that had to go through that and had to monitor sundown, and they could get him a power bar or whatever once the once the sun hit the horizon and all of that. It's a tough deal to go through, and I suspect that they will play the first game on Sunday. On Saturday, and I don't know what the rules are on that, though. I will confess. Like, is it sundown where you are? You know, because if it's sundown in your home time zone, that's a whole different deal.
Right, exactly. It is. It's 6:09 as opposed to they're on Mountain Standard Time, which would be 3:09, right?
I don't know what the deal. I don't know what the rules are on that. I suspect it's where you are, which is not good news.
Interesting. How do you view Burns and watching him play?
Oh, I think that he's one of those guys who understands the game at a next level, and really bright, and understands how to use his body, how to use his strength to his advantage. He has a great touch and astonishing touch, and then he's a great passer. And it's really cool to see. The thing I can't figure out, Steve, is why wasn't this like this all year long? Why weren't they this good? Why wasn't he this good all year long? Because I've seen him before, and I know he's capable of this, but he did not have this kind of year.
And neither did they as a team, because they had no quad one wins until they got to the ACC tournament.
They have played 9 consecutive elimination games. Any game they lost from the start of the ACC tournament was it. If they had lost the final to Carolina, it wasn't, oh, nice job getting the final, we'll put you in. No, they had to win the automatic bid, and they did. And then, of course, like everybody, you don't get here unless you win every game as well. And it hasn't, you know, I thought for a while that some of it was playing that house money concept where they can afford to play loose. But yesterday, in a situation where other teams that have gotten that deep have looked at it and said, oh, man, you know, like, we're this close. And then they got a little wobbly. They were better when the pressure was on than Duke was, because they were behind 6-8 points as the 10-minute mark approached. And that's when they flipped it and completely turned the game on its head.
Absolutely. Now, on the other side, we'll get to UConn in a moment. Alabama, look, when Penn State played Alabama with Nate Oates as the head coach, Dick Girardi and I in the pregame said, look, there are 3 results he prefers on offense: layups, free throws, 3-pointers. Well, you're watching it play out in real time right now. They hit, 15 of them in winning. Are they going to need 15 again, idealistically, on Saturday against UConn?
Oh, I think that something like that, yeah. I think that they absolutely are going to have to shoot remarkably well. As you know, you saw the number one offense, or number two offense in college basketball go up against UConn's defense and get completely broken. A 30-0 run by UConn against Illinois on Saturday. So it's going to be hard for Alabama. But, you know, one of the things that I loved about that game it was maybe a little bit overlooked by those who don't follow the sport as closely. It was, you know, that because of the transfer portal and how things are changing, there's always an overreaction to anything that changes in college sports. And so this past summer, I read an article where coaches anonymously were telling a reporter that nobody's going to recruit number 50 to 100 anymore. That you know, if you're a top 75 type player, that nobody's going to recruit you. And so I'm watching Jaren Stevenson on Saturday, the number 50 prospect in last year's class, who was from Chapel Hill, and Alabama took him away from Chapel Hill, go out and go 5 of 8 from 3-point range. Now, his team is loaded with transfers, the guys who are first-year transfers and second-year transfers. And yet, despite that, there's a freshman who wasn't even a McDonald's All-American or top 25 recruiter, whatever, making the difference in an Elite Eight game. I absolutely love that.
Is there an under any, UConn is obviously dissected. Every, you know, it's, people seem to feel they know every facet of the team. But is there something even a little bit underrated about them that people don't often talk about when it comes to what Dan Hurley's doing there?
Yeah, I think the most underrated aspect of this, Steve, is that they are trying to repeat with a different team.
Yes.
This is not what we usually see. If you go back to 06, 07 Florida, they were the identical starting five. They got deeper because they added Maurice Spates to the bench and a couple other guys, but they had the identical starting five, the same group. You go back to the Walton, the Alcindor Wicks era of UCLA, and they were constantly turning over two or three players, but never as much as this team did. They lost 75% of their scoring. 75% of their scoring from last season's team, and yet here they are. And in a lot of ways, you know, I don't know if they're technically better, like if they played each other, whether last year's team would beat this year's team, but they are much more dominant as a team in this season than they were a year ago.
And what's interesting is that because they are a different team, they actually play at a slightly slower pace than last year's team. I don't think a lot of people realize how far back they are in pace, but they also seem to be, with their ball movement in that pace, getting more open shots.
Yes, and that's because there's a number of reasons for that. The first is Tristan Newton. A year ago, remember in February, and this was, you know, it's funny because like the media questioned whether UConn had the point guard they needed, but
that's
weren't the only ones. Dan Hurley questioned for a long time, and they filled with Andre Jackson at that position, and then ultimately Newton won the job and carried them, or drove them, I should say, not carried, but drove them to a national title. And he comes back this year and plays like a first-team All-America. So that's a big part of why they get better shots. And then they have better spacing as well, because as great as Jackson was and Jordan Hawkins was, the spacing they get because of Cam Spencer, who's a more proficient deep shooter than anybody from last year's team. They get more space, so they're able to get better shots. So a lot of that comes from the development of guys like Newton, but also the addition of Cam Spencer and what he's meant.
Because remember, transfers in from East Carolina, UConn actually had for them an up-and-down January a year ago in the Big East. And then, boom, took off when he settled in and he took charge for them. And it made a big difference to all of them, including Sanogo. And, of course, Sanogo's now on the two-way with the Bulls. Hey, Mike, always a pleasure. Appreciate it so much. Have a great time out in Scottsdale, Phoenix. I'd say Glendale, but the only time anybody goes there is for the games.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks. The great Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, Big Ten Network.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.